prayers for myself as vicar and the whole staff team. It's really appreciated at the start of what is a busy time of year. I think the statistics are still real that sometimes churches can find they've three times the number of people within the buildings. Thank you for your prayers recently for the memorial service in Tunbridge. Someone from the parish made an estimate that there was something like 2,000 people there. And then tonight, not sure how it's going to go after the castle, how many come back, but there's normally a lot of people in the parish church. And my point in saying this is do please pray for us. It might sometimes come across, oh, it all looks so easy and so on and so forth. But I promise you it's not. I also promise you I get nervous. And I also promise you it's not possible for me or any able clergy person to convert anyone. It's only God who opens people's eyes and hearts. And I just wish that would happen more often. The gospel is so clearly presented, it seems to me, it would be good if really the penny dropped in people's hearts and lives as they're within our orbit. Sorry if you've heard this already, but at the start of this busy time of year, I often write a little list down of the services and talks that needs doing. And there were 18, there's now 20 during this next month. So we're out and about in lots of ways. You might care to notice that on Friday, I'm not sure if it's in the diary sheet or not, I'm not speaking there but just networking, the Bishop of Tunbridge and other worthies are present at the new Bishop Chavasse School that's opening formally on Friday. Just thought you'd like to know that. Let me pray and then we'll give attention to God's word. Father, thank you indeed for these days of opportunity, and you alone how we need to be blessed at home or at work or just simply in our lives. And so we open ourselves up now to Holy Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit might be working both in us and through us and blessing us at our point of need. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen. So in your Bibles, it's page 1173 or thereabouts, Ephesians chapter 1, going to be reflecting on today under this wonderful heading of Christ the King. Perhaps from this passage I want to consider three things by way of introduction before we look formally at the importance of Christ the King. Verse 15, at the start of the reading, you have this phrase, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus." It's too obvious to say, but perhaps sometimes the obvious things get missed. But you need to think about what the reason Paul was writing. Well, for this reason, I'm now going to be doing all this. And you just want to sort of press the pause button and say, well, what was the reason Paul was thinking about? And clearly, it's all that had gone on before. And you can notice by way of summary of all that he's been saying, in verse 13, you also were included in Christ. You were included in Christ. And he's painting a cosmic view of Christ. He's painting a big view of Christ. And then there's a wonderful phrase that something that's timeless or almost outside time, Jesus himself, something about the mystery of the Godhead, there is something equally miraculous that you're included in Christ. Try getting your head round God. He's rather big, isn't he? Sometimes Christians can be also superficial and also glib. Of course, I would say I've found Christ, but it's not as if, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, that's it for me now. God is literally mind-stretching. Christ above all and in all, and you're included in Christ. As miraculous as God is, as big as he is, so too, Paul is wanting to say, it's also a really big thing. It's a miraculous thing that you're included in Christ. And because of this wonder, I am now going to say something. Because of this wonder, and then he goes on, I've not stopped giving thanks for your love for the saints and for your faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 16 particularly, and this is what I wanted to say, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Because of this wonder, because of this miracle that's happened to you, I'm going to remember you in my prayers. It's an intriguing phrase, isn't it? What is Paul meaning by remembering you in my prayers? It's quite simple and straightforward, and I don't mean it to be sentimental, but I think there's something thoughtful and profound about it. When Paul remembers someone, perhaps he's praying for them. I'm sure I've said this before, but I find praying hard, and any tip or trick there is to pray is good to know. But perhaps there's a thought here that when Paul says, I remember you, because he's included in Christ, he's praying for those people. So as you remember people, the Christmas card list, the people down your street, your friends and your families, as you remember them, you're praying for them. If that's an easy way into things, perhaps a slightly more challenging one is to say, well, how are you? I mean, I tie things in my hankies. Sometimes a messy business because you don't know the state of my hanky, but there you go. And then the worst thing is you find it later on. You think, what was that knot about? I've forgotten what I tied. It's dead easy to forget things, isn't it? Perhaps Paul has got not just the scroll of Holy Scripture, perhaps he's got another scroll for people he's praying for. So as you remember people, you're praying for them. But perhaps too, there is a thought that you might have a list of people you're praying for. There's someone I phone up once in a term or once every couple of months, and I just want to chat with them because I know they're good to chat with. And they have an alphabetical list. Oh, it's Thursdays. We've been praying through all the B's, they say. We've prayed for you today, Mark, because you're a Brown, you're a B. It's just most impressive that people have got a list. And they're not just leaving their memory to chance, but they're remembering people in their prayers. The third and final thing I wanted to say about this passage by way of introduction, verse 17, Paul says, I keep asking that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I keep asking. He's remembering to pray, but then he keeps on asking. Do we need reminding? And it's good to be reminded again that there's no arrival point in the Christian life. We all need to keep on keeping on. Hence, Stir Up Sunday. We stir ourselves up to keep on going. So by way of introduction then, for this reason, for the wonder that you're included in Christ, we remember anyone who's a Christian, and we keep on keeping on because no one can say they've arrived. It's not good to burn out, clearly, but I sometimes think it's a better option than rusting out. Two sorts of Christians, those who burn out or those who rust out. Keep yourself oiled and lubricated and keep on keeping on in our Christian life. Now, there is something completely amazing about Christ the King, and we'll see it now. I think these are all three verbs, or if not, I'm going to make them sound like they are. The first one that's happened to Christ is in verse 20. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him. Why is it that today we're celebrating Christ the King? Jesus Christ is King. There is no other. It's what people have called the scandal of particularity. In this Jesus, there is something so focused that there's going to be sheep one day and there's going to be goats. It isn't a case that all the other religions have got some truth in them. What is the case is that there's only one Jesus. He's king. And it's scandalous. And the reason we can be so humbly sure that we're right, or that's not the right thing to say, is it, but that Jesus is king, is that there's at least three things that God's done to him that hasn't happened anywhere else. First of all, he's been raised. No one else has come back from death to life. God has raised Jesus. Notice too the second thing that's happened to him, and it's again in the same verse 20, and he has seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Raised him, seated him, and then finally in verse 22, I'm sure there's a verb there somewhere, God has placed all things under him. Look at how amazing Jesus Christ is. Raised, seated, and then under him are all things. Completely amazing too that all things are under Christ for the sake of the church. For the sake of what God wants to do, they are under Jesus Christ. Well, so what? Sometimes I think it's just good to reflect on the truth of these things. And maybe the truth and reality of our lives as we live before this truth, the Spirit will say, well, yes, there's this. Remember God raised Jesus. Remember God has seated Jesus. Remember everything's under his control. Remember that. Well, so what in our lives? Well, the question, so what, is an important one. Because right at the start of this letter, Paul lays out our belief in Christ, and then towards the end of the letter, Paul mentions how things should be applied or lived out in the light of it. It's more a question of what's not mentioned. As you turn over the page, you look at what's mentioned in Ephesians. What does it mean to live under the rule of Christ? Everything is mentioned. Everything at work, slaves and masters. Everything in the home, children and wives and husbands. And then he goes on to the heavenlies and the principalities and powers. The wonder of getting your head round God. Jesus is there in the heavenly cosmic struggle. What are the implications of the fact that Christ is king? Everything changes. What are the implications for your life that Jesus Christ is king? There's nothing. There's no one in your family or friendship circle that he doesn't care about. There's nothing that's going to happen to you or has happened to you that's out of his kingly control. Everything is under his loving kingly gaze. What is it the Spirit is pointing to? What is it you feel, oh, God can't want to be worried with that? Or God, that's just not fair? Or God, you just don't understand? Jesus Christ is king. Your faith in him is so important. You matter to him. And all that matters to you matters to him. From the sublime to the completely and utterly ridiculous. And apologies if you're not into Michael McIntyre. I happen to think he's rather funny. I saw a little bit last night. And I prefer it if he just told jokes. But the thing on the show is, he gets these famous people in. Well, they're famous to the TV viewers. I've never heard of this chap. But he's up in the gallery. And the deal is you get his mobile phone. And you send a funny text to all his friends on the contact list. And then his friends get to reply. It's brilliant comedy, actually. And this famous fellow, I think he's a famous actor from EastEnders, is then up before thousands of people in this great place. And all these texts come back in to this thing that Michael McIntyre sent out. And of course, some people think, oh yes, this is just a joke. Other people are completely hoodwinked by it. But the text was, who was it last night? Was it Dan or Den? I forgot. Hmm? Danny Dyer, thank you. Danny Dyer from EastEnders. The text gets sent. Imagine you've been knighted. No, you've received a message from the Queen that you're going to be knighted. What should you reply in response to it? And of course, all these texts come back in. You've been knighted by the King of Kings. I mean, he wouldn't believe it. I'm never going to get knighted. Not me. And most of his friends wouldn't believe it anyway. Someone's having you on. The Queen is never going to bring a knighthood to you. Actually, there are a couple of people within. There's certainly one within the parish church who's been knighted. Wears it quite humbly and lightly, I have to say. It's Sir Paul Britton. But imagine, what if that happened to you? I mean, oof, it'd change the Christmas card list, wouldn't it? You kind of go around feeling, oh, yes. Jesus Christ is King. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter of the King. It's as if you've been knighted by him. You're that special to him. And there's nothing in your life he's not concerned about. Because as far as the heavenly throne is concerned, you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You're under his rule. You're under his reign. Let's pause to pray together. Let's pray. We worship you this day as Christ the King. Forgive us when our vision of you is too small. Forgive us for when we don't trust you enough. Help us to walk tall and to be proud that we are yours and that we belong to you. Help us to hold out the word of life, Jesus Christ, to others, that they might learn to live under his rule and under his reign. This we ask in his precious name. Amen.